Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. You might be listening in Vancouver at CITR 101.9 FM or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And wherever you're listening from, of course, thanks so much for being with us today. And I'm not really a fan of hockey, but now that we're in the playoffs, I'm kind of really getting into it. So I just want to put out a Go Canucks Go, because today is game day. Yay! So hopefully they'll win. I'll be very happy if they do. Okay, so we have some very special guests today. Andrew Resmer, Ashley Rose, and Stephen Gray. And Andrew Resmer is the host of Conscious Living Radio, which is on Vancouver's Co-op Radio. Andrew, tell us about what made you decide to start up Conscious Living Radio?
Do you have 2 hours? Well, I've been always fascinated by radio. Radio is the media that I like the most, because I believe if it's done properly, it leaves a space for the listener to be co-creator, in contrast to printed media or contrast to TV, where everything is given and the viewer is only absorbing, and they don't have enough time to create their own images or to participate in the process, where radio still enables a listener to create their own images, own visions, or reality made based on what they hear. And I've been in the radio production for 25 years, mainly in back in Poland and Polish radio show here in Vancouver. And my second passion was psychology, philosophy, conscious studies, religious studies. So I combined those two, and 6 years ago created Conscious Living Radio, where I can both talk to the most interesting people on the planet about topics that fascinate me, and create radio shows, which is my second passion.
Wonderful. And so this show is basically me just asking questions, and I'm sort of just bumping along my life, figuring things out as I go. But you have a lot of co-hosts who really know what they're doing, it seems like. So with master's degrees and PhDs and things like that. So can you tell us about some of the people who help, like Ashley, you help out and co-host from time to time as well, right?
Sometimes Andrew asks me to come and co-host. It's more of an adventure and a friendship and a mutual interest, I think, that joins us together rather than any kind of degree or experience. I think it's a common passion that has us kind of journeying together. But certainly in the creation of Conscious Living Network, which is an organization that was actually developed out of Andrew's work at the Conscious Living Radio, we have collaborated on that very much to sort of strengthen our community. And what we're seeking to do there is bridge a lot of the personal growth and spiritual groups in Vancouver. So we're working cohesively rather than, like a team of forces kind of pulling it all asunder, but acknowledging that we're all on the same path. Mm-hmm. And so Andrew and I have been curious and tenacious in pursuing all sorts of people, from people who are just developing their healing practices and their understandings, to people who have been around for a really long time and have some profile in these communities or even internationally.
Wonderful. Yeah. And so part of the Conscious Living Network, you guys are putting together an event. The website is spiritplantmedicine.com, and it's the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference 2011. And so you've brought along a special guest, Stephen Gray, and he is going to be one of the speakers and guides at this event. Stephen Gray has been a lifelong student, teacher, and researcher of spiritual paths, in particular Tibetan Buddhism, and the peyote ceremonies of the Native American Church. He has studied and practiced several other modalities in the healing and awakening fields and also devoted a lot of time and love to music as a teacher, singer, songwriter, and composer of music for healing and spiritual work. And he is returning to the sacred world with his first book. And also
that's
he
the title
oh
of the book.
Oh, with his first book. Oh, okay, sorry. Returning to the Sacred World is his first book, and Stephen has also written several feature articles for leading magazines in this field. So welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thank you.
Hi, so thanks for being with us. So tell us about this. I guess all three of you can tell me about what this Spirit Plant Medicine Conference is all about.
Yeah, well, the project began actually last year with one of the events that we ran. It was a film screening and a talk with a local curandero. It was a screening of a movie called Vine of the Soul, which came out in 2010. And the director, his name is Richard Meach, and he's a lovely man and has produced various films and short documentaries on, different cultures and anthropological sort of studies. So we ran this screening, and it was such a heartfelt and beautiful event. And in that, we really saw the need of the community, the thirst of the community, of looking how to interact with various medicines, because they're really coming to the fore in a different way than ever. And It was sold out, and we had to turn people away. And we also had a really beautiful shared collective experience together. And from that, I think it connected us to how sort of ripe this time is to bring these topics forward, and all of the subjects that kind of branch off from understanding of medicines and those traditions. So we decided to create a conference.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And Stephen, it sounds like you want to add something.
I could. Let me think. Well, one thing that occurred to me was why the medicines, but maybe you were going to ask that anyway at some point, because they're obviously controversial. They're in general, very poorly understood in the culture, particularly this what you might call the mainstream culture. And from my point of view, and it's far from being only my point of view, these medicines are gifts from the planet, what you might call gifts from the spirit. They need to be used extremely wisely in the right kind of context. And if they are, I'll step back just slightly. I'm very interested in what's going on the planet these days, and there's a very powerful and actually ancient vision afoot, you might say, that sees this time, this particular moment on planet Earth as a moment of what you might call a crisis and transformation. In other words, we've kind of hit the karmic wall on the sort of spiritually disconnected behavior that allows us to rip the planet apart and abuse other people's labor and all that sort of thing. This ain't going much further is the vision. And so we're in need of a radical reprioritization of values, which has to start from the inside. It also needs to take place in the external level, of course, helping out wherever you can. But from the inside, we have to reconfigure ourselves in some sense and become who we really are. From the Buddhist point of view, they say that we're all, by nature, awakened beings. We just have to remove the veils that obscure that truth from our consciousness. And the plants are here to aid in that process. And obviously, Ashley and Andrew are they understand that, and they're passionate about this. And I just want to, before you go back to them, I just want to say one, because they won't blow their own horn, of course, I just want to say that I have a really strong feeling that their heads and hearts are in the right place about doing this. They're doing it from a vision. They're doing it for the right reasons. And so it's probably, the spirits are probably blessing it, as we go along here. But I just wanted to say that about them, that I think they're doing great work.
Wonderful. And if you have a question for our guests, you can give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-2487, 604-UBC-CITR. We are speaking with Andrew Resmer. He is the host of Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio and his occasional co-host and business partner in Conscious Living Network, Ashley Rose, as well as Stephen Gray, and he is one of the speakers for the Spirit Plant Medicine 2011 conference. And when is the conference happening, first of all?
Not long from now, June 17th, which is Friday evening, right here, practically a few steps from your studio at UBC Students Union Building. And 17th Friday evening is the beginning, and a full day Saturday on June 18th, and full day Sunday, 19th of June.
Wonderful. So if you want more information about that and the speakers and everything that's going to be happening, go to spiritplantmedicine.com. And Stephen, one of the speakers, I want to ask you, in your bio, it talks about peyote. And so you were talking about using these medicinal plants as a way to connect more deeply. And it seems to be quite controversial because I had a guest just a couple weeks ago, David Sarita, who's been meditating for 30 plus years. And, you know, he did experiment back in, you know, early college and late high school with psychedelic drugs and things of that nature. And he now is quite opposed to them and feels that you should really connect through meditation. So how do you see the use of peyote or other type medicines for connecting to that?
Sure. That position or attitude that you just expressed about this fellow is not all that uncommon also. But I, you know, with respect, I believe it's a misunderstanding. Alan Watts, who was a popular spokesman during that period of time through his writings and other things, once said, when you get the message, hang up the phone. And that became a kind of a saying, you know, that people were aware of in the 60s and 70s. So I think that what people thought at the time was that, yes, you would be maybe given a glimpse into the spirit world or the vaster world of enlightenment or whatever you want to call it, but then you had to go back and do the grunt work of meditating, you know, day by day and grounding yourself and all that. Well, my understanding is that that's not really the way the plants work, and a lot of that experimentation was done in a casual manner anyway. When you go into these worlds, you know, like the Native American Church, I've been a member for over 8 years now. I've been to maybe 35 or 40 of these all-night teepee ceremonies, peyote prayer ceremonies. What you find out is that these plants are actually, in a sense, they strengthen your meditation, because what they do is, if you're open to them, they open you up. They help you open up. They bring out your heart more. They sharpen your intelligence. They connect you directly, and they're an ongoing, you might say, an ongoing course of instruction. You hear that a lot about ayahuasca, for example, that people who have been done it for 20 or 30 years, they say, every time you go back to the plant, you do what David is correct about, in my understanding anyway, is that yes, you do have to do the work. It's not about the ceremony. The ceremony or that one event is a powerful learning experience that opens you up potentially, and then you have to go back and the plants will teach you. Then you have to go back to your daily life, your daily walk, and put those teachings into practice. And not everybody does that. And in the day, so to speak, you know, the 60s, 70s kind of era, a lot of people didn't. You know, they had these amazing experiences, and then they didn't know what to do with it, right? So they didn't necessarily, this is a complicated topic, but they didn't necessarily change their lives. But as I say, in my understanding, you, like with ayahuasca, they say again, for example, that it'll show you something about your own life or about what's beyond where you are now, and then you have to take that understanding, that insight, and work with it. And then, so the next time you go back and do another ceremony, the plant is going to go, okay, you've done your homework, let's go further, you know, and it'll show you something new. So ayahuasca ceremonies, for example, are different every time. Just briefly to finish that up, I don't want to take all the time on this, but that with the peyote ceremonies, they're prayer ceremonies. They're about, these plants are sometimes called non-specific amplifiers. So it depends on the context that you put them into. And one of the things I would say, if you ever asked me about this, would be that, and this is something that Ashley and Andrew are big on too, is that we need to learn from traditions that really know how to use these plants, because then they're understood as medicines, they're understood as teachers. They're not about sensational experience, they're not recreational drugs, etc., etc. They're medicines and they're teachers, and they're an ongoing course of instruction.
Okay, good to know. Well, it's time for a break already, so we'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment. Today we are speaking with Andrew Resmer. He is the host of Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio here in Vancouver, and his co-host Ashley Rose. They are organizing the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference happening June 17th, 18th, and 19th right here at UBC in the Student Union Building. If you want more information about that, spiritplantmedicine.com. is the website, and the person you just heard speaking was Stephen Gray, one of the fabulous speakers. So we will be back with more Synchronicity very soon.
Bond. James Bond.
Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite. From transsexual Transylvania.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver. Your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
Don't miss The Hangover Part 2, running from June 1st until June 9th. And then Super 8, running from June 10th until June 23rd. For more information, visit www.riotheater.ca.
The annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival is back on July 15th through until the 17th for its 34th year running. There will be over 60 great acts playing, including Gillian Welch, Roseanne Cash, the Jayhawks, as well as Canada's very own New Country Rehab, Catherine Calder of the New Pornographers, Imaginary Cities, and Jim Bryson. For more information and to buy tickets, go to www.thefestival.bc.ca or call 604-602-9798. Cheaper early bird tickets are available until June 11th.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for joining us today. Today is game day. Go Canucks, go. Yay, hope that we win. Are there any spirit plant medicine things that we can all do to, like, help the Canucks win tonight? No?
Next question, please.
Bob Dylan once had a scathing song called With God on Our Side.
Who did?
Bob Dylan wrote a song called With God on Our Side. In other words, justifying, you know, your side versus the other side.
Right. Yeah.
So why would God support the Canucks
duality
over the Bruins?
It's about oneness.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure the Bruins are praying for God on their side, yeah. And we're all praying for... But anyway, it's all about having fun. Doesn't really matter who wins. I'm probably going to get, like, egged when I leave the building now for saying that, but... So today we are speaking with Andrew Resmer, Ashley Rose, and Stephen Gray, who is one of the speakers at the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference happening June 17th, 18th, and 19th here in the Student Union Building at UBC. So Stephen Gray is just one of the speakers. Who else is going to be coming, and what are some of the topics that people will be discussing at the conference?
We have an amazing, amazing list of speakers and people coming from a variety of backgrounds, from the more intellectual side. We have a gentleman by the name of Kenneth Tupper, who has done extensive academic research on globalization and entheogens as they relate to education, and also...
He's here from UBC.
He is from UBC, yeah. And so he's going to be joining us to talk about drug policy and some of the sort of cross-cultural considerations and cultural appropriation that can happen with these medicines. And then a beautiful woman by the name of Kathleen Harrison, who is an ethnobotanist and has traveled extensively. And she's also really interested in art and myth and ritual use of medicines, and we'll be speaking also about psilocybin mushrooms as well. That's part of her expertise, as well as salvia. Gabor Mate, who's a local doctor, who many people know from his work with the Insight Clinics, and his extensive support of the downtown east side and the people there, addictions and also ADD, and so he'll be speaking about his understanding of how medicines relate to psychological healing and physical healing, as well as Dennis McKenna, who of course has an extensive background, is one of the co-founders of the Hefter Institute, and also very well versed in ethnopharmacology. Actually, he worked for Aveda for a long time, sort of going into territories where they were trying to respect and support the indigenous communities, and also work with their botanicals to have, you know, hair care products for us up here. Who else? We also
Alex and Chenoa.
Don't forget Alex. And can you speak about Alex and Chenoa?
She turns my mic on. Hi. I know these two people. They're a couple, Alex Turtle and Chenoa Egawa, and they will be here. They're from Northwestern Washington State. But Alex and, well, both of them actually are pretty remarkable people. But Alex's direct immediate family goes right back to the beginnings of the Native American Church. The Native American Church being the main conduit for the use of the peyote medicine. There are 300,000 to 400,000 members, in primarily in Western states. And Alex's family was there at the beginning of its foundation back in the 19-teens. So he's got about as deep in the marrow a connection to this as anyone would. Very powerful understanding. And his partner, Chenoa, has been in the Native American Church for working with that medicine for 25 years herself. She's done a lot of excellent human rights work, has worked with the United Nations, and she's also a fabulous singer of those songs. She has several CDs under her own name, Chenoa Egawa, E-G-O-W-A, singing Native American peyote prayer songs. So they will be there.
Thanks. And actually, on that same panel is a beautiful man by the name of Fidel Moreno, and he has a non-for-profit called Healing Winds, and runs an American Indian Education and Cultural Resource Center. And he actually got commissioned by the Native American Church to make a film about peyote to reverse the decision of Congress to have it actually banned. And that contributed to the overturning of the Congress's decision to permit peyote ceremonies for card-carrying natives. So, and he also does really beautiful work with... he's interesting because he has this film aspect and is very... involved in media as using social media portals for youth mentorship as well as medicine, so he's quite unique as well. Yeah.
We also have Richard, the movie Meech. Yes.
Where it all began. Yes, the director of Vine of the Soul. He's going to be coming down and actually moderating for us as well as speaking, and we're going to screen his film.
We have also the shaman from Peru. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about Karen.
Her name is Karen Ursia, and she's actually a descendant of the pre-Incan culture and is a San Pedro shaman.
And ayahuasca shaman.
And ayahuasca, yes. But she'll be speaking about, you know, why it's important to actually build a relationship with medicines at all, and what relevance that has to our own healing. And she's actually never been out of her out of Peru before. So we feel really blessed to have her presence and her energy, because she's very singular and has an incredible spirit about her. And wow. Feminine presence, so
that's exciting. Yeah. So I'm wondering now, a lot of times with these conferences, you go and you pick a handful out of, you know, there might be 20 speakers and you pick, you know, three or four that you like to see. So is this going to work like that, or do you get to see all of them? How does it work?
We had a good conversation about that, actually, because initially we had everything happening in one room, because we our whole approach to this project is one that we would like to view it more as a journey. We don't. We were very cognizant of the fact that it could become sort of an intellectual exercise, whereas, as Stephen was alluding to, and the whole part of the gift of medicines is that it is its holism and its ability to connect people and us to ourselves and to one another. So we really wanted it to sort of lift and come down and us to, you know, navigate the journey together. So what we also had so many amazing people that were coming from such remote regions that we really wanted to be able to capitalize on their wisdom. So what we've done is we've opened a second room that will be available at certain points of time, and then with other conversations that are we'll be having in the sort of main room or auditorium. So
approximately 70% of the conference, the content of the conference, is all of us together, and approximately 30% is the second room for additional panel discussions or work.
Okay. And so if you go into that other room, are you going to be missing out on stuff?
And yes. Okay. It's a choice.
Yeah, there will be choices, yeah.
And will you be recording it for people who aren't able to make it?
Yes. We will be both video recording and audio recording it.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. So again, the website is spiritplantmedicine.com, and Ashley, people can call you as well?
Yeah. If you have or are seeking more information or would like to know more about the schedule, my phone number is 604-644-4447.
644-4447.
Yeah, lots of fours.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Try and remember to put that number out there again before we close the show. And so it's time for another break. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we're speaking with Andrew Resmer, host of Conscious Living Radio on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, his co-host and business partner, co-creator Ashley Rose, and one of the fabulous speakers from the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference coming up on June 17th, 18th, and 19th here at UBC in the Student Union Building. Stephen Gray will be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Hey! Hit me, baby, one more time. Xtina! What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy, sets you free. Mariah! CITR, where you'll hear none of those divas. CITR 101.9 FM, where the only divas you're likely to hear are Kathleen.
Suck my left one!
Diamanda. Lydia.
Would somebody please inform the U.S. government that my uterus is not open to public debate.
CITR 101.9 FM, your true diva station.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by Andrew Resmer, Ashley Rose, and Stephen Gray. We're talking about what's going to be happening on June 17th, 18th, and 19th here at UBC in the Student Union Building. It is the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference put on by the Conscious Living Network, which was kind of the child of Conscious Living Radio, so very interesting. And you can listen to Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio. When is the show?
Wednesday 6 to 7. You can also listen on satellites. We are on cable, and our shows are archived on consciouslivingradio.org. So all 200 or 300 shows that we've produced over the last 6 years are available for free for anyone who is interested.
Wonderful. Okay. So we were talking about, we've been talking about the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference. And so we've been talking about journeying and connecting on a deeper level. But when we think of medicine, a lot of people think, okay, so you're sick and then you take a plant that makes you better. Is there going to be anything like that, or is it all going to be the spiritual aspect of these medicines?
Well, the word medicine is a little bit redefined, I think, by the plants. And our hope is that we're going to bring this indigenous culture and history. Those plants have been used, or people have been connecting with the spiritual world using those plants for thousands of years in Amazon cultures. Independently, I believe over 70 different cultures have connected to other realms of consciousness with those plants. And the healing that is occurring is on many levels, and it's both physically, emotionally, spiritually, and it's the person who is participating in the ceremony, and it also affects others. So the only word that we feel in the Western culture know it's medicine, but I think the meaning of that is much deeper than what we are used to. It's not a pill that we take to fix something. It's a more deeper, more profound, more amazing process than that.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's also for those who have delved with any depth into mind-body connection, I think they understand the fallacy of the sort of disempowerment that I think happens a lot in our culture, where we go to the doctor and we are told how we're sick, and we're sort of educated externally by something that we seem to have no connection, no power over, or no hand in our own illness. I'm thinking about the Native culture. They don't actually necessarily make distinctions like we do with our medical systems about what is, ADD, whether you have Asperger's, whether you are schizophrenic. They just say you're sick, and they consider it a spiritual dilemma. So in that aspect, the closest thing we might have to it is transpersonal psychology, that really sees that there is a rift that's internal that is actually being manifest. And the greater the rift, the more it becomes manifest in the denser bodies. So rather than just subtle bodies, which is spirituality. So I think they're actually one and the same, those two things that you've said, is that the spirituality wouldn't be divorced from the healing. So in that sense, medicine sort of bring us that awareness of our own relationship to self and one another being the inherent illness.
Wonderful, thank you. Okay, so I'm going to put that phone number out again, 604-822-2487. If you want to get on the air and ask one of our guests or all of our guests a question, 604-822-2487. And again, if you want more information about the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference, you can go to spiritplantmedicine.com or call, what's the number again?
604-644-4447.
Yay! Mm-hmm. So, Stephen, actually, it's interesting, Ashley, what you said about peyote. So now First Nations people in the United States are, or at least in Washington, is it all over the states? They mm-hmm. can use peyote now?
All over.
Okay. And so that obviously is different than how it used to be. And people here, I don't know quite what the laws are around peyote and other medicines here in Canada. Can you tell us a little bit about that, because obviously, Stephen, you've been involved with a number of the peyote ceremonies. So is it legal here in Canada?
Yeah, I think the psychoactive alkaloid mescaline, the primary psychoactive alkaloid mescaline, I don't actually know all the details of the law, but that's probably illegal. But in the context of religious practice, it hasn't gone through all the hoops that it went through in the United States, so it hasn't really been addressed that much, but I think it's sort of de facto legal. There's certainly no, I've never heard up here any problem with it, but I haven't had much contact with people doing that up here either. In the States, it's a whole different scenario where it's the reason they made it a church in the first place, not particularly because they wanted to, but because they saw that that was, because the Americans were so religious, they saw that consecrating it as an official legal church was going to be their way to protect this medicine and these practices, these ways. So they did that, as I said, in the early 20th century. So it has been, basically it's supposedly has been legal ever since then, but it has had to fight off, the church has had to fight off a significant number of attacks on that right over the years. And what Ashley was referring to was in 1990, the Supreme Court had a decision based on a case called Oregon versus Smith, where they ended up essentially abrogating the rights of religious freedom. And it was a really interesting time because a whole bunch of strange bedfellows got involved in this, Baptist churches and all these other Christian churches who you would think might not be particularly positively disposed to native spirituality and certainly to these psychoactive plants, all got on board to support them because they saw it as an attack on their own religious freedom. And the result of it was that the Congress passed a law in 1994 called the Religious Restoration Freedom Act or something like that, Religious Freedom Restoration Act Amendments of 1994. So that has protected it in the United States ever since, and things have improved since then as well.
So is that only for people who are members of the church, or they have to be status Native Americans?
No. It's a little bit loosey-goosey that way. If you took a really, really narrow interpretation, it might be Native people. But where you draw the line on Native people in the United States and Canada is extremely difficult to do. Even the people that are Native, that I work with in that environment, they have so many different. One fellow got up in a meeting one time and he said, this is not meant to be exclusive. He said, I got about 50 different ethnic strains in me. Everything from Belgian to, Native American to African, whatever, So it's been so long that so many people are mixed up these days, and so this is an issue that has to kind of pass away in a sense. These medicines are here for humanity, and in case there is anyone involved with, in particular, the Native American Church listening to this, I would say that there are some very specific concerns in regard to the Native American Church that it's. I don't know how to put this in a really short time, but I'll do my best. Because of the history of oppression against the Native Americans and all over the world, of course, but in particular, we're talking about Native Americans. This church has been a very precious lifeline for them. And so some of them are very rightly protective about these ways. They don't want it watered down. They don't want it corrupted. But at the same time, as I said, the vision for this time is that these medicines need to benefit humanity. So they are getting out in certain ways. Native American Church is a very particular version of that. Ayahuasca is spreading more openly, for example. But no, in answer to your question in a very simple way, you don't have to be a card-carrying Native American to participate. I have been welcomed into the church as a non-Native person, and in the area where I participate, oftentimes the meetings have 20 to 30% non-Natives involved, and then, as I say, all these other mix-ups of, things as well. Yeah.
Sorry, Ashley, you were going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just that you've raised a really important thing here that we're also going to be addressing at the conference is what is the distinction of a culture that has a long lineage of using these medicines? What is the difference for them using it in that context, and also on the territory which these plants grow, versus people from Canada going down to South America and being in a totally different environment, or those medicines coming up here. What happens when the context changes radically and the tradition is not as rooted? You know, even on a family level, if there are tribal societies in South America that where you would see your grandfather chewing pounds of coca leaves a day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might be given these from the time you were eight as a process for divination and connection to the spiritual nature. That's a really far cry from, you know, grandmother saying, oh, is he doing drugs again up here, you know. And we'll also, I mean, the word drug also goes back to that conversation that we were just beginning about what the difference is between a psychedelic and an entheogen. And an entheogen is something that has a tradition and has a shamanic practice and a sense of ritual and a sense of history that allows for it to maintain its holism, rather than just us taking what we want, that experience that we want out of it, without any sort of connection to its ancestry or its sanctity or even the spirit in the actual plant itself.
And then there's also a difference between, like you talked about, mescaline, which would be processed, right? It's not taking the whole plant.
It has been. It's also the existing, primary psychoactive alkaloid in both peyote and San Pedro cactus, which Ashley mentioned earlier is one of the specialties of Karen Orcia, who's coming up from Peru. She's a San Pedro shaman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the difference between these medicines and drugs and psychoactives. Who wants to start?
What do you want to know?
I'll start, and then we probably, because we each of us has a different experience and different knowledge, and I think I would bow to Stephen's wisdom, because I probably never will know even fraction of what he does, but for me. The medicine has been the most powerful, most influential, most profound experience I have ever had in my life. And I traveled to Peru. I was fortunate to experience it here the first time, and then I traveled to Peru. And it opened me to understandings, to wisdoms, to experiences, to depth of experiencing my humanness and my spiritual aspect of myself, to the point that 30 years of meditation didn't succeed. I have not succeeded in coming even close to those realizations that I had with these plants. Mm-hmm. So. There are differences. Obviously, each plant has its own spirit and its own way of connecting us with this world, with the other world, with consciousness, with wisdom, with dark side or with light, with heaven or hell. And there are specific differences, but I think every plant in some way is the same in the way that it opens up. Opens us up to realms that we sometimes don't even know exist until we actually experience it. And specific differences are very unique, and I think probably the way to start would be with grandmother, with the ayahuasca, which is considered by most of the cultures as the mother of all medicine. Maybe Stephen, you can pick up from here.
Well, that was well said, Andrew, actually. I think you put a good perspective on the whole thing. Andrew made a really good point that the medicines all are unique, but they all are doing a similar kind of work, which is to, as sometimes described, help dissolve ego boundaries and open people up to larger realms of understanding and experience, which, again, if I may use Buddhism as a, or Buddhist teaching as a kind of a reference point there, Buddhist teachings would say that, this awakened heart-mind is our existing natural state that's just kind of waiting for us to discover it, and that generally humans live in a state of ignorance of that and just need to uncover it. So the plants are a very direct, again, with the right kind of set and setting and context, they're a very direct way with sort of, in a sense, no intermediary to that wisdom that's existing in us already. It's not like they're some foreign element that's just giving us something. They're actually triggering movement in our brain, so to speak, that allows us to open up to that if we are able, willing and able and ready, mature enough to surrender to that. In the Native American church, they talk about watch out for head traffic. Because, you know, in your head, and, you know, in our normal state, it's kind of like we're living in the sort of this flat land. We live in the valley, so to speak, you know. But then there's the depths and there's the mountains. And in our sort of, quote, normal states, most people can cope with having a busy mind. But when you bring that kind of mind into these non-specifically amplified situations, then you're going to be in trouble. You're going to struggle. One of the elders that I work with in the Native American church said, you know, he'd say something like this. He'd look around the teepee and he'd say, relatives, this medicine wants to meet you, and you can make that easy or you can make that hard. It's the degree and the willingness that you have to open up to it. So, you know, we could talk actually all afternoon about the differences between the medicines, but I'll just try to make it as brief as possible. Peyote is primarily done, but certainly not only in. Well, actually, that's not quite true. It's been used throughout Mexico as well. Not throughout, but in many places, the Cora, the Tepehuan, the Huichol, and several other tribes use it, and they do it in different ways. They do it in ritual ways. They use that as a medicine for all kinds of purposes, a topical medicine for bee stings. It's part of their life. I've even read that they'll give it to pregnant women to ease childbirth, that kind of thing. My personal experience has been with the Native American church, and it's almost never used outside, for those people, almost never used outside the context of the ceremonies themselves. It has that function of helping you open your heart if you're up for it. It's a meeting, right? The ceremonies are prayer ceremonies, so there's a focus that goes outwards. And this is actually on some level, a distinct difference between working with peyote and working with ayahuasca. The peyote prayer ceremonies are a shared work. They talk about one united heart for a purpose. A lot of it has to do with prayer and intention. Meetings are called with a particular purpose in mind, to pray for someone's benefit in one fashion or another, from a very serious thing to a relatively lighthearted thing. So it's people getting together, eating this medicine, singing the songs that they have, and praying and putting their intention on a particular purpose. And there's a history of incredibly powerful changes and healings that can come out of that. So that's a very brief description of the way peyote is used. And it's also a big difference in some sense, on the surface anyway, is that it's the medicine is very strong, but it's also kind of subtle. One of the elders told me that the medicine spirit said to her one night, I am a gentle way for you to come home. So if you open to it, it can feel gentle and a lot of the time. Ayahuasca, and, you know, I'm not the ultimate expert on either one of these plants, really, because there are many people who have done them a lot longer and more than I have, but I've done about 11 or 12 ayahuasca ceremonies as well, and it's much wilder in some ways. It's often very, very visual. In the Native American church ceremonies, you keep your eyes open most of the time because you're doing this thing together, and you have to pay attention. There's a fire in the middle, and the fire is sacred. As Alex Turtle may speak about that when he comes here, he told us one morning, he said, relatives, I want you to pay attention to that fire. There are teachings and visions in that fire, right? Ayahuasca, on the other hand, traditionally in the shamanic environment, is done in darkness. I did a ceremony in Peru 3 years ago, a couple ceremonies. I couldn't see my hand a foot in front of my face. It was that dark. It was out in the middle of the jungle. There wasn't a single light around. There was no moon coming in the window of the hut. So it's about closing off the external world primarily, and making a very personal, intimate, one-on-one connection with what the medicine has to show you. So it's a much more inner and private thing in that way. In the Native American church, the songs are shared, the songs are led by people going around the teepee, but everyone who knows songs sings them together. In ayahuasca ceremonies, in the shamanic context at least, the shaman is the only person doing the music. And it's very specific what it's for. I definitely had this experience myself, so I feel I can say a little bit about it. Because this guy was wonderful. His name was Percy Garcia. And his songs, not all sung always. Sometimes he's shaking this leaf thing called a shakapa. Sometimes he actually played a little jaw harp. And sometimes he hit a little gong thing. But the way he used those, he said the spirit doctors come in and they tell him how to run the ceremony, how to work with the ceremony. And they actually, I found that every time he started to, he would leave silence and then he'd start up again, and the visions would become stronger and they'd change. You've had that experience, right, mm-hmm. with Ronan Niue?
Yeah.
So it's a very different kind of thing that way. As I say, it would take us far too long. I see it's 10 to 1.
It's time for a break.
To go through a number of these medicines. So I'll just say that much.
Okay,
right there.
And you can find out more about that if you go to the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference, and you can find out more information about that at spiritplantmedicine.com. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We are speaking with Andrew Resmer, Ashley Rose, and Stephen Gray, who is one of the speakers at the upcoming Spirit Plant Medicine Conference here at UBC in the Student Union Building, June 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's time for a break. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with us today. We are speaking with Andrew Resmer. He is the host of Conscious Living Radio on Co-op Radio here in Vancouver, as well as his co-host and co-creator, Ashley Rose, and one of the fabulous, extraordinary speakers, there we go, from the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference coming up June 17th, 18th, and 19th here at UBC in the Student Union Building. And you can find out more information at spiritplantmedicine.com. And one more time, that phone number, Ashley?
604-644-4447.
Okay. And Stephen, I was going to ask you a little bit about maybe some potential dangers of these drugs, medicines, but you wanted to mention cannabis as well as mushrooms first.
Well, those are two, you know, big topics in themselves, and I'm sorry, I wish you could just sort of bar the doors and keep us in here for 5 hours, because we really could, you know, provide useful information about this stuff for a long time. So we're squeezing it all into a very short amount of time. Those were two questions. The dangers element is a hot topic. It's a big topic. The simplest thing to say about it is that we all three strongly believe that these medicines should be done in the context of environments that are responsible, ethical, knowledgeable, have a tradition behind them, ideally, possibly, wherever possible. And there's a caveat emptor thing going on here, too, a buyer beware thing, because especially with ayahuasca, because it's spreading so rapidly, one of the non-native shamans who's doing really good work up this way told me that, in his opinion, about 80% of the people leading ayahuasca ceremonies these days are not properly trained and may not have the right ethical attitude about doing this. Problem is there's money to be made, mm-hmm. and commodification is a danger there. So that's the very short answer.
And then, sorry to interrupt you just before you move into cannabis.
Yeah.
And what about people who have psychological disorders such as bipolar or ADD or schizophrenia? I mean, are they at a greater risk when using medicines like these?
There's definitely a question as to who's ready for these medicines. Absolutely. That has to be, that's part of the ethical thing. You know, this particular shaman that I referred to a moment ago from the ayahuasca world, he connects with people beforehand and finds out a little bit about them. I also interviewed two, there's another plant that we probably won't get a chance to talk about today, but Iboga is a remarkable plant from Western Equatorial Africa. And I interviewed two fellows who lead these ceremonies in Europe, and they have extensive conversations with people before they invite them to the ceremony. So that's the way it needs to be done, in my opinion, is that you need to know who you're dealing with, and the people who would do them need all the information about them. They're certainly not likely to be, well, I don't know, this is a very complicated topic. There are people like Dr. Gabor Maté who might say that in fact ayahuasca might be very good for people with mental illnesses, but it has to be done in a very strongly carefully supervised environment.
One thing I will say is that we're cognizant of the variance of opinions and the considerations around this. So we've created a panel on the Saturday evening with a really interesting group of shamans and also medical researchers called "What Is a Healing Space?" And it speaks of the ethics concerned with being a part of medicines at all, and the type of considerations that you're talking about as well.
Mm-hmm. So I just maybe say briefly about cannabis then, because I'm going to be doing a presentation on cannabis in spiritual practice, and it's a very interesting topic because obviously the plant is so omnipresent in the culture, but the interesting thing is it's like we're sitting in the it's sitting in the middle of our culture. It's a gem. It's a remarkable gift from the planet, from the spirits, and almost nobody knows this about it. You know, it's people treat it like a candy bar, you know, you wolf it down and throw away the wrapper sort of idea. But that's a radically, as Andrew spoke about earlier in regard to these medicines in general, that's a radically different understanding than what these medicines are capable of when they're used in the right context. And there's a I don't know, really long ancient history all over the planet of cannabis in spiritual use for concentration and focusing. It's also a non-specific amplifier. Yeah, you do it at a party, or if you get a busy mind, or whatever you do, where those are the munchies, you know, it tends to increase your sense of taste. Music often sounds better to people because apparently sends blood flow into the ears and stuff like that. So it enhances things, and it depends on where you direct it. If you direct it in a meditative way, as has been done in many cultures over the course of history, then it has great potential. If you abuse it, which many people do, then it's a whole other thing, right?
And I think that's the difference of our approach. This conference is unique. Its uniqueness is that our attitude is to bring awareness about the cultures that have been using those plants in a very sacred spiritual way. And that's what we are going to be talking about throughout this entire conference. And this is the direction. The plants that are around us, our kids, our teenagers, everybody knows about it. It is part of our culture, but it's being used in a completely different way. So this is the focus. How has this type of plants been used for thousands of years throughout different cultures, indigenous cultures mainly, to bring us closer to each other and to the spirit world?
And actually, one of our speakers, Jonathan Dickinson, who has worked with Iboga in a healing capacity, has just launched a website called Plant Medicine Guides. So it's plantmedicineguides.com, and it's meant to be a resource center, sort of a global community campfire that talks about the revival of ceremony of medicines, and also different retreats and healers that is going in that direction of more awareness, and also the people involved, so you can kind of self-educate. So we're really excited to have him and his awareness of using modern technology to facilitate ancient tradition.
And so you were talking, Stephen, about some of the facilitators of these ceremonies aren't necessarily qualified. So if you're looking for someone who is qualified, that website is going to be a better resource.
Well, that's it's such an evolution, right? But that's definitely what I think we're all. It's one resource, yeah.
One of the resources. I think what Stephen says: educate yourself. Don't jump in and ask yourself questions. Inquire: why am I interested in these plants? You know, what is the process? Respectful way of entering that realm, and how to do it properly, looking into those different resources, coming to the conference, asking questions, talking to many people is part of that path.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the also, just want to throw this in also, is that we're going to be having some dialogues about what relevance medicines really have in our communities in a really grounded way. Like Andrew mentioned, the use of cannabis and how that affects our youth and also their lack of awareness of what they're actually really dealing with. And outside of a recreational sort of experience, does it actually come to medicines are meant to connect you further to your identity? Is that taking you further away or closer to that aspect? So we're going to really make it have some conversations that open up this dialogue of what is the relevance in terms of this raising our consciousness so that we can be aware of what is needed for this particular time. As Stephen said, there's a lot of prophecies on the horizon. We're seeing a lot of planetary shifts, and so the necessity for sort of being able to connect to and interpret the Gaia mind or our natural surroundings is really important. So we're going to be looking at that aspect too, because I think sometimes these things seem really far out, and they're actually incredibly relevant to what's our social climate that isn't as well versed in these things.
Wonderful. Well, we are already out of time, so we've been speaking with Andrew Resmer, Ashley Rose, and Stephen Gray. If you're interested in the Spirit Plant Medicine Conference, June 17th, 18th, and 19th, here on the UBC campus at the Student Union Building, go to www.spiritplantmedicine.com. And just really quick, is there anything that you'd like to add? Thank you so much for coming to the station and being on the show today, everyone.
Well, thank you very much for being such a good focused listener, and also making a point of mentioning this conference about 8 times during the hour,
because and also your fabulousness.
These guys, these two have worked extremely hard and put their own personal time and finances on the line to do this, and for the right reasons. And so I hope a lot of people will come to this conference. Yeah,
wonderful. Well, spiritplantmedicine.com is the website, and Parts Unknown is coming up next. I can see the DJ standing out there waiting to get in. So I'm going to have to sign off and say bye, but thank you so much. And Conscious Living Radio is on Co-op Radio Wednesdays at 6 p.m.?
6 to 7.
6 to 7 p.m. And your website again?
ConsciousLivingRadio.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. It's been such a pleasure serving you today. So I want to send love to you. Have a wonderful week. Go Connects Go. I'm going to close the show with Synchronicity by Sheena Brad.